Sequestration is often described as across-the-board budget cuts, but the impact on federal agencies is anything but even. Some have escaped furloughs altogether. Others are asking staff to take 1 or 2 weeks off unpaid. But that's not even the worst of it. Federal public defender offices are laying off employees because of sequestration. Michael Nachmanoff is the federal public defender for Eastern Virginia, and he joins us now to explain what's happening in his office. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you have about 50 people working for you. What have you had to do to adjust to sequestration?
Well, sequestration has hit us very hard, but the problem that we face as federal defenders is a combination of both sequestration and cuts from within the judiciary. To address the budget cuts that we've faced in this fiscal year, we have all taken furloughs, and all employees from the receptionist all the way up to me have lost almost 3 weeks of pay. We've also lost staff through early retirements, layoffs, and military activation. And so we've lost almost 10% of our needed staff.
So what effect has this had on the services you can provide the indigent people that need a public defender?
Well, our job is a constitutional mandate. The Supreme Court requires that indigent defendants, and that's almost 90% of all defendants charged in federal court, get a lawyer. And so we continue to represent our clients. We have a duty of loyalty to them, but we've had to decline cases, especially cases that require substantial staffing and intensive resources. And those are the cases that we are best able to handle. We have the greatest experience. We often have lawyers who have language abilities or access to classified information, but we've had to turn down death penalty cases, international fraud cases, an arms export controls case because of the budget cuts. And that's just going to get worse in the year to come.
So what's happening with those cases? Because it seems like there are a few places that can handle that sort of specialized and elevated criminal case.
Well, that's right. And unlike other parts of the government where when there are budget cuts, less can be done with less, these defendants still require a lawyer, and therefore the court has to appoint lawyers in private practice, and they pay them an hourly rate, and that is less cost-effective and ultimately drives costs up. So the effect of the budget cuts to federal defenders, sequestration, and cuts within the judiciary are ultimately going to have the impact of increase in government spending. So it really is cutting off one's nose to spite one's own face.
And give us an idea of the geographical breakdown of this. Has it been evenly across the country, and or is it more in Washington? What have you seen there?
No, federal defenders across the country are suffering in the ways that I've just described here in the Eastern District of Virginia. My colleagues here in this area in the District of Columbia in Maryland are also having to furlough their employees anywhere from between 15 and 20 days, and that's true across the country. Of course, the dockets are very different in different parts of the country. There are enormous dockets on the southwest border because of immigration, as federal defenders who all speak Spanish, who can use the economies of scale to visit multiple clients, are forced to decline cases as they are furloughed and laid off. Those cases will skyrocket on the border and across the country.
We're speaking with Michael Nachmanoff. He's federal public defender for Eastern Virginia. And I'm wondering, is it legal, is it possible for private law firms to step up their pro bono work to help make up the difference? And have you asked them to do that if they are able to?
Well, there certainly are law firms that offer pro bono assistance in the criminal arena. But frankly, that's a very dangerous road to pursue because federal criminal law is complex. It requires an expertise that few people in private practice have. And although it may be done with good intentions, it's no substitute for the institutional defense function that federal defenders provide. It would be the same thing as, you know, asking at Bethesda Naval Hospital, medical students to come in and offer their services to make up for shortfalls there. You need good lawyers to do this work. People's liberty is at stake. You need good doctors to provide adequate care. It's not a substitute to ask for charity.
Now, we should clarify that the federal public defenders are paid for through the judiciary's budget. They're not separate like the Justice Department is. Has the judiciary, what is it doing as a whole? Because other departments have reprogrammed funds. They've asked Congress to help out. Is any of that happening with you guys?
Right. We're building on that, the judiciary, like many other parts of the government, has suffered from budget cuts, but no other part of the judiciary or the criminal justice system has suffered like the federal defenders. And in fact, the Department of Justice, which is, of course, part of the executive branch, is the agency that we litigate against. The Justice Department was able to reprogram money. It was given permission to do so. The Attorney General sought permission to do so, and not a single Justice Department employee has been furloughed, and therefore the work remains at the same pace. Within the judiciary, we would very much like to see reprogramming of funds. There are pressures from within the judiciary because other parts of the judiciary are suffering, but we think that the problems we face are catastrophic and that reprogramming would go a long way to ameliorating some of the worst effects of the problem we face.
And we have to say that you guys do what is probably a very unpopular task in that you defend people who are accused of very serious crimes. Is this on Congress's radar at all?
It is. Certainly, we have tried to raise awareness on Capitol Hill. We are hopeful that there may be a hearing soon to address the problems of budget cuts in the court, and particularly its impact on federal defenders. Congress has been receptive to the importance of our constitutional duty, and perhaps as importantly, the cost-effectiveness of the ability of a group of people who have expertise to provide this more cheaply than people who are paid by the hour in the private sector. But it is difficult, just as it is for all agencies, to solve this problem in Congress right now. And that's why, in part, the solution has to come from the agency itself, the judiciary.
And just reiterate for us one more time how many furlough days people are facing in the federal public defender system.
In this fiscal year, federal defenders around the country are facing up to 20. Here in our office, it's a little bit less than that. But 2 weeks, 3 weeks without a paycheck is devastating. In 2014, the federal defenders will face the loss of a third or more of the entire program. My office would face 97 furlough days if we kept all staff on board. That is simply untenable. The program really faces complete destruction unless both the judiciary and Congress act very soon.
And you can't even furlough people for that long.
It would be closing the doors for 4 months. It's impossible.
Right.
And there's a constitutional requirement that people be represented. And so this is a problem that must be solved.
Michael Nachmanoff is the federal public defender for Eastern Virginia. We thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.